Episode number 26 of The Grace to Love Again. There's an old saying, they who watch for the providence of God will never lack the providence of God to watch for. And we could turn the saying around as well and say, they who never watch for the providence of God will never have the providence of God to watch for. Unless you put the water jars out when it rains, you will never collect the water. Charles Spurgeon, April 6th, Streams in the Desert Devotional. Journal entries begin on July 3rd. On July 3rd and 4th, Satan continues with the nightmares. I have bad dreams about both of our exes, mine one night and Lisa's the following. After the dreams, I remember that I had prayed fervently to the Lord to put some of Lisa's sufferings and nightmares on me so I could carry the burden for her. It seems Father has answered me. For her comfort, I'm willing to suffer even more. On July 4th, the Lord begins showing me the numbers, pointing to the scriptures, telling me to move forward again, and that he will deliver me. July 6th. In the last 2 days, Jared and I were able to disassemble the tiny house deck and put on the 6 new wheels and tires that I purchased. While jacking up the tiny house high enough to put the wheels on, something went wrong with the door and it got bound up and the lock strike got stuck and we got locked outside of the tiny house. We actually had to drill and sawzall our way back into the house, destroying the lock and the doorknobs. The original doorknobs in color were no longer available, so it cost me about $350 to buy all new matching locks for both doors. July 8th. After seeing another 10:17, the marker for Jeremiah 10:17 to pack up my belongings and prepare to leave the land, followed by 2 more 9:51s, Luke 9:51s, which speak to me about proceeding resolutely through opposition, I finally felt the Lord had given me confirmation to move forward with contacting a shipping company for the tiny house, even though we don't yet have the funds to ship the house. July 10th. In answer to both our prayers, a wonderful brother and sister in the Lord purchased my deck wood for exactly what they wanted to pay and exactly what I wanted to sell it for. We were delighted to meet each other and encourage each other in the Lord as true followers of Jesus Christ. They even prayed for me. It was truly delightful. After having our longest talk so far, 7.5 hours over the phone, the nightmares about her ex continued for me. Then, after I woke and told Lisa the dream, she told me that her ex had indeed just made essentially a first attempt that very day for the first time in 5 years to connect with their daughter, and he attempted to do so in a very sneaky way. She had a dream a few nights ago that even his father had attacked her. Satan is relentless in attacking us in our dreams. Aside of when I went to India for the first 28 days, I've never seen this kind of nonstop assault in our dreams ever. Then, in the face of us missing each other so much, and with 46 days left until I leave, and still seeing nothing happening, she reads to me Streams in the Desert from July 10th evening about God testing our faith through delays. It was so encouraging.
And July the 10th evening, Song of Songs 5 verse 6, I called him, but he did not answer. Once the Lord has given us great faith, he has been known to test it with long delays. He can identify with that. He has allowed his servants' voices to echo in their ears as if their prayers were rebounding from a contemptuous sky. Believers have knocked at the heavenly gate, but it has remained immovable as though its hinges had rusted. And like Jeremiah, they have cried, you have covered yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can get through. Lamentations 3:44. True saints of God have endured lengthy times of patient waiting with no reply. not because their prayers are prayed without intensity, not because God did not accept their pleas. They were required to wait because it pleased him who is sovereign and who gives according to his good purpose, Philippians 2:13. And if it pleases him to cause our patience to be exercised, should he not do as he desires with his own? No prayer is ever lost, or any prayer ever breathed in vain. There is no such thing as prayer unanswered or unnoticed by God, and some things we see as refusals or denials are simply delays. Christ sometimes delays his help so he may test our faith and energize our prayers. Our boat may be tossed by the waves while he continues to sleep, but he will awake before it sinks. Thank the Lord for that. He sleeps, but he never oversleeps, for he is never too late. Man, we need to be reading stuff like that and hearing stuff like that, eh, baby? He sleeps, but he never oversleeps, for he is never too late. So, yes, he can't be too late in respects to our, you know, everything that needs to be done in order for you to be here with me. Otherwise, you won't be getting on that plane. And we know, for us to get married on 9/11, you have to get on that plane. So yeah, he is really testing our faith and pushing us to, you're pushing it out to the last minute. But like you said today, baby, we are about to see God move, and we have to. Yeah, we have to, otherwise it's not going to happen. So, yeah. Well, you did get that passport email today though, eh, baby? So that was cool. Yeah, so who knows what happens next week when they start to process it. I've got to keep praying, yeah. Father, we know that with you nothing's impossible, and we know that this can be done. Lord, I just pray that the whoever it is in New Zealand that will be dealing with Michael's visa, whoever it is that has the authority to deny or allow Michael to come into our country, Father God, I just also pray that you'll have favor over Michael and over the visa, and that you will blind them in such a way, Lord, that again he just slips under the radar, that it'll be stamped approved. Yeah, Father, again we just pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we know you can do this. We know you can do this, Father. And Lord, we just can't wait to see what you're going to do. We can't wait to see you move these mountains. We can't wait to see you open these doors of impossibility, Father. These doors that are locked before us. It's so exciting, Father God. But Father God, we are hoping to see something soon, Lord, just to encourage our faith and just to refresh our spirits, Lord. And Lord, it's hard waiting. It's so hard waiting, Father, when we want each other so bad and we don't see anything changing, anything moving. So, Father, please do something in the next little while. Father, even if I receive an email about the 9/11 booking, that the people that have booked it out, Lord, that that'll be cancelled, and then I'll get an email to say that our names have been put in that place that have been booked in for that night, Lord. Father, I also pray that the shipping company will get back to Michael ASAP. Lord, that we'll hear back from them soon. But Father, just like Psalms 123, when I saw that number just the other day, Lord, like a servant, his eyes are on his master and a maid is on her mistress, Lord, we look to you. We're powerless, Lord. We can do nothing to make this happen. Only you can do this, Father. Please show yourself strong, Lord. Please move on our behalf, Father God. Please let us see a miracle, Father. We're trusting in you, Lord. We love you, Father. And we thank you for everything that you've done. And we thank you for everything that you're going to do. And I thank you for Michael, Lord, the beautiful gift of him to me. And thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 8:18, just as I finish praying. Wow. The glory he will reveal to us later. It's awesome.
I received notification yesterday that the passport had reached the government office now. In prayer, Lisa quoted to me Psalm 123:2, and then I noticed that the passport email came in at 12:32. Psalm 123:2, as the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Lisa's prayer is still that the eyes of the passport renewal processor will be blinded to the unjust child support balance and that God will do a miracle on our behalf. I agree with her. It seems there is no way the money from Carol Ann can come any sooner than before they likely process the passport and, quote, see the balance and reject the renewal. May God have mercy on us. Exactly 60 days before we marry in New Zealand. What happened this evening created the worst torment I've ever faced, which resulted in the greatest temptation I've ever faced to throw away my love for God and my faith in him. At about 8:30 p.m., my vulnerable time, I mentioned to Lisa that the Puritan writers leave virtually no room and no hope for someone like her ex or my ex to be able to repent after rejecting God's mercy for so long as a professing believer. See Luke 13, 6-9 and Revelation 2:21. Lisa then shared with me a recurring dream that her daughter had been having, and within about 15 minutes, it became like a nuclear bomb in my heart. I started feeling a strong temptation to be mad at God, having thoughts of completely rejecting him for doing something like this to me after all I've been through already, meaning what she had dreamed about. Thoughts of giving up completely on God came into my heart. Very, very hard thoughts of God. Thoughts of quitting now with Lisa before what happens in the dream really happens so that I can just avoid the pain of something like that. Unbelievably tempting and tormenting thoughts came into my mind and heart. The main point of the dream was to get me to have very wicked thoughts towards God and to falsely accuse God of planning to do something so very hurtful to me. I start to go quiet, and Lisa eventually calls me and reassures me over and over that this will not happen. She stepped in once again at my worst moment, and she lifted my head by the grace of God. July 11th. Satan continues to stir up more and more trouble. I woke up in the morning to a message from Lisa about yet another very disturbing incident. After I heard what had happened, I immediately went out to the mountain and was filled with anxiety, even for the first walk up the mountain, and became even more anxious just talking about it to the Father. Tormenting thoughts about Satan becoming like the enemy in the movie Matrix, who just keeps duplicating himself, start to come into my mind as he just keeps multiplying and surrounding us. I started praying hard prayers to God to give us relief from this. Eventually, I began to realize that all of these attacks are driving the roots of love and loyalty between Lisa and I deeper and deeper, not to mention our faith and hope in Christ to deliver us into this marriage. In the evening, I talked with Lisa, and we both started out just drained and tired. The attacks from Satan continue as Lisa informs me that she had yet another bad dream that was designed to make her feel like she had done something wrong. She stood in faith, exclaimed, "How stupid, how ridiculous, that is totally not from me." At first, I felt a sting after she told me the dream, just for a few seconds, but it was quickly dissipated by the blessing of her honesty and openness to share these things with me, She knows I want to know everything about her, and she tells me, which is such a blessing to me. The amount of dreams we are having is truly unbelievable. This is clearly Satan's top strategy against us at the moment. She then told me about her feeling offended towards a friend who said she doesn't have time to listen to my messages about our story, and yet we are experiencing an epic faith journey with the same God she claims to believe in. After that, we talked about how Christ taught, and 2,000 years of Christian history prove that our relationships with other friends and family are going to begin to change as we continue to go all out for God together, and others are left behind or stay headed in different directions. Matthew 10:34-39. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Luke 12:51-52. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be 5 in one family divided against each other, 3 against 2, and 2 against 3. Titus 3:10. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. The Fire of Discrimination by Austin Sparks, The Cross and the Way of Life, Chapter 1. It was the fire of unerring and unavoidable discrimination. Fire always finds things out. As it creeps and encroaches and overtakes, it makes one discrimination between things that it can devour and things over which it has no power. Look at the context of Luke 12:51. Think ye that I have come to give peace in this earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. He goes on, there shall be from henceforth 5 in one house, divided 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They shall be divided father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against her mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Spirit is discriminating, setting things in the category to which they belong. One category is that which can go on and abide and endure because it is of God. The other will be licked up by the fire and simply pass out of existence. Quote, the fire shall try every man's work, said Paul, 1 Corinthians 3:13. The fire of unavoidable and unerring discrimination. The fire of unavoidable and unerring discrimination. That has ever been the effect of a work of the Holy Spirit to put us into the place to which we belong. It is a kind of dividing thing all the time. Are you for or are you against? Are you with or are you not with the Lord? Are you going on with the Lord or are you not going on with the Lord? The Holy Spirit is pursuing that course all the time to find us out and to just classify us like this, so that when the Holy Spirit has worked, we are in definite categories. Division has now come, and it is unavoidable. It is no use, dear friends, our trying to avoid this. You see, here is a terrible statement. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Matthew 10:34, dividing even families and households. You cannot avoid it. It is of no use trying to. If you are going on with the Lord into fullness and total devotion to the Lord, this sort of thing is going to happen. It is of no use just trying to avoid this. You have got to yield to the work of the Spirit, and it is costly in your own home with the clear division on the ground of whether the Lord is having his way or not with others, which brings clear division in the family anywhere, everywhere. You just cannot avoid it. Even as I write this, just this morning, I read the part of Brother Yun's story where the Chinese government tried to trap him into confession by putting him in front of a judge who was his blood-related cousin. As the cousin tried to coerce him, the Holy Spirit told him to separate from his family because he had now been chosen by God. Here we see why Jesus said, "Flesh and blood counts for nothing," see John 6:63, and that his family are not those who are blood related to him, but rather those who hear God's word and put it into practice, Luke 8:19-21. Tonight, Lisa and I read the word in the book of Nehemiah about the enemy trying every possible tactic they could to stop God's work. And then the January 18th streams in the desert evening, and then finally we prayed together. The prayer was fervent and desperate, and we both realized how incredibly vulnerable we have been to Satan's attacks because nothing is breaking in our circumstances, and it looks like we will be a fool. God has not overcome any of the obstacles yet, but we are still hoping, still believing, and still fighting. Lisa said, "Quitting is not an option for her, and if I try to quit on her, she will beat me down good. LOL." By the end of our call, we felt so much better, and we were being silly and sweet with each other, missing each other so badly. It was the end of the worst spiritual warfare we've seen so far. Lisa is simply amazing because of what Christ has done in her. Although we are facing huge giants, we are not going to give up, and we know that because this battle is so fierce, our reward is going to be exceptionally beautiful. We just keep thinking about our wedding day and our honeymoon time, and it fills us with such hope, and it gives us such an inspiration to keep believing and to keep going, keeping our eyes on the prize. July 12th. I woke up at 3 a.m. and sent a few texts to Lisa, and she immediately replied, and we exchanged communication for about 10 minutes in the middle of the night, and it was so sweet and so wonderful. She's been spending time on specifically thinking of a few ways to bless me on our wedding day, and it just made me feel so loved and so happy. I woke up feeling like a new man this morning. The torment has lifted, exactly in accord with God showing both Lisa and I the number 510. 1 Peter 5:10, so that after we have suffered a little while, God himself will strengthen us again, making us strong, firm, and steadfast. Praise the Lord. He has clearly done it, and I feel so relieved. Lisa recorded the streams in the desert from the 12th for me to hear this morning, and it was unbelievably appropriate for all that we've been through thus far. The constant and fierce storms from hell that come against us.
He knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. You'll know that scripture off by heart, my baby. Job 23, verse 10. Faith grows during storms. These are just four little words, but what significance they have to someone who has endured life-threatening storms. Faith is that God-given ability that, when exercised, brings the unseen into plain view. It deals with the supernatural and makes impossible things possible. And yes, it grows during storms. That is, it grows through disturbances in the spiritual atmosphere. Storms are caused by conflicts between the physical elements. And the storms of the spiritual world are conflicts with supernatural, hostile elements. And it is in this atmosphere of conflict that faith finds its most fertile soil and grows most rapidly to maturity. The strongest trees are found not in the thick shelter of the forest, but out in the open. I know that you did a teaching about this a while back, baby. Where winds from every direction bear down upon them. The fierce winds bend and twist them until they become giant in stature. These are the trees that toolmakers seek for handles for their tools because of the wood's great strength. It is the same in the spiritual world. Remember, when you see a person of great spiritual stature, the road you must travel to walk with him, this is quite cool, is not one where the sun always shines and wild flowers always bloom. Instead, the way is a steep, rocky, and narrow path where the winds of hell will try to knock you off your feet, and where sharp rocks will cut you, prickly thorns will scratch your face, and poisonous snakes will slither and hiss all around you. The path of faith is one of sorrow and joy, suffering and healing, comfort, tears and smiles, trials and victories, conflicts and triumphs, and also hardships, dangers, beatings, persecutions, misunderstandings, trouble, and distress. It's a mixed bag. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Romans 8:37. Yes, in all these, even during storms when the winds are the most intense, we are more than conquerors. You may be tempted to run from the ordeal of the fierce storm of testing, but head straight for it. God is there to meet you in the center of each trial, and he will whisper to you his secrets, which will bring you out with a radiant face and such invincible faith that all the demons of hell will never be able to shake it. Isn't that good, my baby? Wow, that's for us tonight. That's incredible.
Today, Lisa and I both saw a few numbers which caused us to believe something significant is going to happen in 3 days on the 14th or the 15th. While looking for a particular journal recording for Lisa, I came across the recording I made where I'm explaining to Tyler about the blessing from Daniel 12:11 that happens at the end of the 1335th day relating to the end times. And for me, this happened to have been Saturday, March 6th, 2021, the very night he got his first job. Michael commentary. Perhaps if you did not hear this message, it was where the Lord had allowed me to discover that from the day that we considered that P had gone full-blown apostate all the way back in 2017 to this March 6, 2021 was 1,335 days. And I believe the Holy Spirit had led me there in some bizarre way such that I ended up finding this out. And so I made a 10-minute message where I explained this to Tyler and I was just amazed. So it's just a kind of a type. And this is regarding the end times, but in this instance, I felt the Holy Spirit had led this to me to point out that something indeed was going to happen at the end of this 1,335th day. This happens to be the day where Tyler gets his very first job. After only just a few minutes, they basically hired him on the spot, and we had recorded that God had showed me this in advance using 848, go in peace, your faith has delivered you, and then Tyler got in the car at exactly 5:55, showing God had indeed done this, and that job has turned out to be such a huge blessing to Tyler. And he's been such a huge blessing to them. So then I continue to write here. But then I was shocked to realize this was also the very day, meaning the March 6th, 2021, 1335th day, this was the very day Lisa wrote and dated her second email to me from New Zealand about her faith that God was going to bring me a resurrection in the ministry. Meaning this is the time when I had put the ministry down thinking I had been wrong about these two dates, and then later God vindicated me and he raised the ministry back up. This was the email which caused me to really take notice of Lisa and to start having those tempting feelings towards her possibly being a candidate of a wife for me one day, which I at that time heavily resisted as only possibly coming from Satan. When she heard about me finding this out about the 1335th day and her sending me an email that is actually the email that would open my heart to her, she exclaimed to me, "See, I was not a temptation, baby. I was your gift." Then I discovered that it was exactly 40 days to the day from the day she emailed me on that March 5th US date, March 6th, New Zealand date, to April 13th, 2021, the first day of our Skype call, 40 days to the day. Praise the sovereign Lord who rules over all time and circumstances, choosing the appointed times in accord with his good pleasure and his will. July 13th. This morning I made an hour and 20 minute long recording trying to capture a picture of how glorious our marriage relationship is already and what the heavenly secret to it is. I believe it is a very important recording. Lisa reads July 13th Streams in the Desert Evening, and it's an extraordinarily timed devotion on faith and trusting God in faith, about Romans 4:17, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Halfway through the recording, she made a list of things that God had promised us, and she declared them in faith in the recording. It was just so wonderful, and I lifted my hands while listening to this.
Okay, so the scripture is Romans 4:17, and it says, God calls into being things that were not. What does this verse mean? It is the very reason why Abraham in hope believed, verse 18, that Abraham would become the father of a child at his advanced age seemed absurd and an utter impossibility. Yet God called him the father of many nations, Genesis 17:4, long before there was any indication of fulfillment. And Abraham thought of himself as a father because God had said so. That is genuine faith, believing and declaring what God has said, stepping out on what appears to be thin air and finding solid rock beneath your feet. Therefore, boldly declare what God says you have, and he will accomplish what you believe. You must, however, exhibit genuine faith and trust him with your entire being. So, baby, I ended up writing a list of what I believe God has promised us, and you can probably come up with some more. And I thought I would declare them in faith. Declare what God has promised us. So here we go. So God says to us, baby, that the child support has been taken care of and is sorted. Not exactly, we don't know how, but we know that he's going to take care of it and is going to sort it. The passport has been approved. The visa and entry into New Zealand has been accepted. Your MIQ is booked. I will pick you up on 9/11 and we will get married. And we will spend the first night as husband and wife in the tent. There you go. I just declared it by faith. Oh, and the tiny house will reach New Zealand shores. And we will live in the tiny house. That's another one. Okay, it carries on by saying, we must be willing to live by faith, not hoping or desiring to live any other way. We must be willing to have every light around us extinguished, to have every star in the heavens blotted out, and to live with nothing encircling us but darkness and danger. Yes, we must be willing to do all this if God will only leave within our soul an inner radiance from the pure, bright light that faith has kindled. Okay, the moment has come when you must jump from the perch of distrust, leaving the nest of supposed safety behind and trusting the wings of faith. You must be like a young bird beginning to test the air with its untried wings. At first, you may feel as though you will fall to the earth. The fledgling may feel the same way, but it does not fall, for its wings provide support. Yet even if its wings do fail, one of its parents will sweep under it, rescuing it on strong wings. God will rescue you in the same way. Simply trust him, for his right hand sustains, Psalms 18:35. Do you find yourself asking, but am I to step out into nothing? Onto nothing? That is exactly what the bird is seemingly asked to do. Yet we know that the air is there, and that the air is not nearly as insubstantial as it seems. And you know that the promises of God are there, and they certainly are not insubstantial at all. Do you still respond, but it seems so unlikely that my poor helpless soul will be sustained by such strength? Has God said it will? Do you mean that my tempted, yielding nature will be victorious in the fight? Has God said it will? Do you mean that my timid, trembling heart will find peace? Has God said it will? If God has said so, surely you do not want to suggest he has lied. If he has spoken, will he not fulfill it? If he has given you his word, his sure word of promise, do not question it, but trust it absolutely. You have his promise, and in fact, you have even more. You have him who confidently speaks the words, "Yes, I tell you, trust him." That's Luke 12:5. That's awesome. We trust him, don't we, baby?
July 19th. There are only 37 days left until my plane leaves and only 13 days until the tiny house has to be removed from this property. Everything is still being held back. There is not one visible progress on anything. Not the child support unjust balance, not the passport renewal, the $44,000 donation still hasn't arrived in our account, the shipping company, the visa, divorce papers from P, MIQ reservation, or our opening of the tent booking for our 9/11 wedding night. Nothing has opened, nothing has moved, and it looks like we are totally defeated and that this will never happen. Nevertheless, our faith remains the same. We have peace like a river. It is the true grace of God. 1 Peter 5:12. I've been packing up for 2 days straight in the tiny house in accord with Jeremiah 10:17. Nothing happened on the 14th or the 15th that we can see. Yet we believe it is possible that something did happen, and we just haven't seen it yet. Michael commentary. To our knowledge, those 2 days came and went without any significant thing happening at all. This has now happened at least 3 times or more where I or we both believed that we had seen one of those 3-day or a 20-day marker from the Lord, and then nothing visible happened. However, the majority of them, 85 to 90% of these markers that we have seen from the Lord, are actually his prophetic words, and they actually do come to pass, as already seen several times throughout the series thus far. It seems the Lord is pleased to allow these mistakes to keep us humble and to remind us that we indeed have this treasure, this faith, this hope, and our walks with Jesus in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from him and not from ourselves. Imagine if we became frustrated because something we hoped to come to pass did not, and then we just quit or gave up on looking for God's guidance. I can tell you, if we had just thrown up our hands and said, well, see, the Lord isn't really using numbers to guide us to scriptures to give us guidance, or if he is, it's not perfect every time, so I'm just going to give up on this. I'm not going to do this anymore. Then I can tell you we would have missed out on a great many exciting things and promises still to come in this story, as you will see. I believe it's obvious that Satan will do anything he can to get you to believe that the grace of God in your life is not really his grace, and that this is the time of testing which the Lord spoke of in Luke 8:13, which causes so many people to attempt to walk with God and to attempt to hear and to attempt to, if you will, discern the providential guidance of God, only to then later see them fall away during that time of testing from going on with the Lord as their truly living Lord and Master. I've heard of this happening many times over the years. The Lord truly begins giving someone guidance, but when the necessary time of testing comes, they shrink back in fear, grow impatient, or give up, no longer going on with the Lord in a living and powerful way. I know many people who God started using numbers with as an example, personal friends of mine, who real things came to pass as a result and real answers to what they were facing, real evidence God was actually using his providence this way to guide them to scriptures in this unique way, who after a certain period of being tested, then gave up. Imagine if Abraham would have given up on whatever method God had used to speak to him about Isaac simply because it took so long to come to pass. Imagine the cost to you and I if he had given up. God has now been using numbers in my life to point me to scriptures for over 12 years. 12 years. And yes, I want to tell you, there were times I wanted to quit, times I thought this can't be from the Lord, times I thought I was being deceived by Satan. But in the end, God has always come through for me just exactly as his words were pointed out to me with the numbers and as those scriptures they pointed to said. All the forces of hell are arrayed against a believer who is truly walking with and hearing the Lord in a living relationship. Satan hates living Christians filled with and being capable of living in and spreading the abundant life that is in Christ Jesus to others. We must enter into the kingdom of God through many hardships. The Lord calls us to be faithful even to the point of, quote, death, and then he will give us the crown of life. He does not just mean the final physical death before we step into eternity. He means be faithful at each and every point of spiritual death that comes through calamity, disappointments, setbacks, obstacles, disasters, impossibilities, or reversals in circumstances, and nonetheless, all of our unmet expectations. Be faithful even through those without quitting and giving up, and then I will give you the crown of life. I have had to face so many of these in just the last 12 years. And Satan has many times tried to get me to doubt God's providence and guidance so many times. Yet when I look back and see how God has come through and delivered me in every single situation, I simply cannot throw it all away or step into full-blown doubt, no matter how contradicting my circumstances may seem at the time. I simply cannot throw it all away or step into full-blown doubt. I just cannot. This happens through a persevering faith that will not give up and never loses hope, no matter the circumstances. If someone asked me to share one secret of my Christian walk so far, it would be perseverance. Let the public record of my testimony over the last 30 years of my Christianity show that I just don't ever give up. And I always keep hoping, no matter how bleak the situation is, no matter how much others stand against the will of Christ in my life, I never stop clinging to Christ. I never give up on him. I never quit asking for help and his guidance or for him to deliver me and refresh me. And thus far, the Lord has never failed me a single time. There are moments when those circumstances come in heavy and completely contradict, or the reversal comes in and screams, "You're an idiot. Who do you think you are?" Those moments of wanting to quit, the thoughts of wanting to quit do, but I always run to the Lord and hold on. Never quitting, always persevering, always hoping is one of the biggest secrets continually I see in my Christianity. Just because another person gave up on God using unusual providential ways of guiding them in their life, I personally cannot throw away hundreds of answered prayers captured and perhaps dozens of supernatural impossible endings, dozens of time-stamped events, and thousands who have testified to the life of Christ in their heart as a result of this ministry, just because some don't believe God's providence can guide a Christian to scripture like this. What God has said to me or promised me always comes to pass, even if it's not what or when or how I first imagined or hoped. Not to mention that anything I hoped for that he didn't give me has 100% of the time been redeemed in such a way that it always ends for my Romans 8:28 good. There is not one single thing in my life so far following Christ that has not turned for my good and my personal growth in Christ or increased my love and faith in him. Not a single thing. Praise the name of the Lord. It is a very, very costly thing to wait upon the Lord, and it takes a tremendous amount of time and effort to discern his voice. It is much easier to just shrink back and make him the Lord rather than your Lord, where you no longer have to wait on him or strive to hear his voice or stay alert all the time for his personal guidance and instructions to you or to wait patiently on him. Instead, you can have instant gratification by just making your own decisions and taking your own actions, delivering your own self, and making it happen in your own time. That is not true Christianity. That is my selfianity being done in the hijacked name of Jesus Christ. End of commentary. Still July 19th. Lisa prayed for the spirit of prayer, and God blessed her with a very anointed prayer time. She spoke to the Lord about the fact that the Israelites walked over completely and fully all at once as the Red Sea was parted simultaneously, not bit by bit. She then used this illustration to ask the Lord to please remove all of the obstacles at once for me to be able to walk over on dry ground. This happened today in prayer, and she was quite moved by it. Her faith has been absolutely exceptional, and I'm so impressed by the grace of God that is in my wife. Today is also the day that she noticed that on the 21st of July, which is in 2 days for me, that the Streams in the Desert devotional specifically mentions the throwing out of a fleece. That is the very day we are anticipating the $44,000 wire transfer fleece that she and I had both prayed for. July 20th. Yesterday, I finished packing up everything that needs to be taken out of the tiny house. So the only thing remaining is for me to secure the items in the tiny house for it to be shipped. After sensing that I was likely to move forward on the visa, I took Tyler to breakfast and saw the marker for the scripture in Numbers 9:21 four times in less than 2 hours. I then saw a few other scripture references like 1 Peter 5:12 and Luke 8:48, and I began to realize that the Lord was telling me to move forward on the visa. Once I printed out the forms and began the visa process, I discovered four impossible mountains standing in our way. Number one, the current processing time for a visa in New Zealand is estimated at 3 months. We only have 36 days. Number two, I must send in my passport to get a visa, and yet I don't have it yet. Number three, I'm required to have a general medical evaluation, and the only approved doctor is 4 hours away in Atlanta, Georgia. Number four, I have just discovered that the border is closed to all non-critical visas. Mine is non-critical, and there is no way to get a visa at this time. I have not known this until just today. I began to chuckle when I started to see all these impossibilities. I was surprised, but then not surprised. It is absolutely impossible for me to get this visa if God is not in this. Once again, as in every time I've had to trust the Lord over the last 12 years, it looks like I have played the fool. He has clearly allowed us to come up against the greatest test of my faith and her faith in all my years of being a Christian. Lisa and I are both being kept, as she calls it, quote, in a bubble of grace. We know that no one could believe with us at this moment because this is all absolutely impossible. There is no normal way that we can now get to each other. All day long, the scriptures God points me to were all regarding my not being afraid and just believing. Lisa said, "This is the kind of faith and stories that are in the Bible, baby." Indeed it is, and we are still absolutely convinced God is going to do this somehow, some wonderful way. We believe He has promised us. The last few nights, we have read to each other several of our favorite Streams in the Desert devotions to keep our faith strong and encouraged. The very last Streams we read was from October 14th, where we read the following. "Dear soul, you may have to experience the very worst before you are delivered, but you will be delivered. God may keep you waiting, but He will always remember His promise and will appear in time to fulfill His sacred word that cannot be broken." F.B. Meyer. God has a simplicity about Him in working out His plans, and yet He possesses a resourcefulness equal to any difficulty. His faithfulness to His trusting children is unwavering, and He is steadfast in holding to His purpose. In Joseph's life, we see God work through a fellow prisoner, later through a dream, and finally through lifting Joseph from a prison to the position of governor. And the length of Joseph's prison stay gave him the strength and steadiness he needed as governor. It is always safe to trust God's methods and to live by His clock. Samuel Dickey Gordon. God in His providence has 1,000 keys to open 1,000 different doors in order to deliver His own, no matter how desperate the situation may become. May we be faithful to do our part, which is simply to suffer for Him and to place Christ's part on Him and then leave it there. George MacDonald. I'd just like to point out that here you have again an indicator of the old-time Christianity, which is the true Christianity. This writer writes, may we be faithful to do our part, which is what? Simply to suffer for Him. Think about how that contradicts so much of what today is called Christianity. Difficulty is actually the atmosphere surrounding a miracle, or a miracle in its initial stage. Yet if it is to be a great miracle, The surrounding condition will not simply be a difficulty, but an utter impossibility. And it is the clinging hand of his child that makes a desperate situation a delight to God. During prayer, we no longer felt to ask God to do this. Lisa felt this earlier in the day, and I felt it tonight. The time had come for us to stop asking him to do this and to simply believe he already has. And I told her that when he has said to me not to be afraid and to just believe, then that is all we must do. We do not have to keep asking him now repeatedly. The answer has already come. We just have not yet received it. I'm not able to put into words how proud of my wife I am and how thankful I am to God for him giving her the grace to have faith like this. Her faith is a mountain-moving faith. I am so thankful to have her by my side. God is giving us some kind of grace that is just remarkable. We are going to keep moving forward in accord with God's will. He has shown me this morning to be very careful to obey him, so I'm going to be very careful to do so. July 21st. God is faithful on the 21st day of the 7th month, the same day he chose in Haggai 2:1. Haggai 2:1. On the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Number one, our new, quote, marriage bed arrived today at the tiny house. Number two, at 3:11 p.m., Song of Songs 3:11, I received notice that my wedding ring shipped. Three, I secured a visa medical exam in Atlanta, Georgia by faith for Monday at 11:30 in hopes that the passport will arrive before then. Four, at 5:33 p.m., I received a text from my bank that the $44,000 wire transfer finally came in. Michael commentary. So here we have one of those Daniel 10:12 21-day marker promises that came to pass. On July 1st, the Lord had shown me the Daniel 10:12 marker, and I knew in my heart that God was telling me something was going to happen in 21 days. And you can hear that in this recording. 10:14 on July 2nd, 2021. I've seen 10:12. I think it was, I just saw it now. And I think I also saw it yesterday. But so today being the 2nd of July, if I'm seeing that as a 21-day marker again, where God uses the 110 for me and the 21-day thing. It's interesting how today I shut down the tiny house ads and found out it was day 21. That's interesting. The very next day, I received on July 2nd an email from Carol Ann explaining that the bank was going to be holding the money in her account until 21 days had passed, which was July 21st. And to the praise of God, I was able to reply to her and let her know that I already knew this because God had previously, the day before, shown me this Daniel 10:12 marker to let me know that something would come, but not for 21 days. This is one of those incredible blessings of God that as we look for these providences, they continue to encourage us, and it eliminates any possibility of these things being a coincidence. To the praise of God who is faithful. So I will end this episode here, and I will continue with July 22nd and episode number 27. May God bless you as you continue to listen.